you.
I'm on.
Oh, you're on.
I'm on.
Okay.
All right. I was going to start out with this thing. How do I do this? I go to Maine. Ha! All right. We have some prayer cards. How do you zoom in on that, Bob? Oh, okay. That's good. So, if you have room on your refrigerator, take one of these or stick it in your Bible. And when you see this card, if you would, offer up a word of prayer for the ministry in Ukraine. We would appreciate that. Interesting. We sang this song tonight. Take my life and let it be. And, you know, a lot of people just take that title. All right, Lord, take my life and let it be. That's all a lot of people want, you know, okay. Just let it be. Don't trouble me with all this other thing. But I appreciate this song and the man who wrote it. Francis Havergal wrote this. A great man of God. And if you will look in the back of your songbook sometime later, you will notice that there are no fewer than 9 songs in your songbook that this man wrote. He wrote many others. But if you will just sit and read the words to the songs that he wrote, you can get a feeling for this man's heart and the man of God that he was. So I appreciate that. And I think that it's good for us to actually go beyond just the song service here and stop and think about what we are singing and look at the man's theology and so on. I think you'll appreciate that. We come home to America and we are seeing inflation. Yeah, you're having problems in America with the economy? We've heard about that. We have problems in Ukraine as well. But we're not the only place. This is all over the world. Now, just recently I came back from the southern part of Africa, and I thought you might like to see where we are headed in America as far as... Did you give that money back to me? You didn't? Now, this is real money, by the way. Thank you. And that's $50 billion. Now, this is genuine money. And I thought you might like to see that. That's $20 billion, $10 billion. But I hold in my hand what is purported to be the largest single denomination bill ever printed by any government. And with this, ladies and gentlemen, I can pay off the national debt of the United States of America. If the government would accept it, right there, $100 trillion. A lot of money. A lot of money. Now, people ask, well, what is this worth? Now, I just showed you in real money $100 trillion, $100 billion. And I had to give $3 for this. And my African friend told me I paid too much. Okay. Could that happen here? I think so. Where are you going to put your hope? Where are you going to put your trust? Where's your confidence? In silver and gold? You're going to put it somewhere that things can rust and moths can eat it and thieves break in and steal? Where are you going to put your trust? What are you investing in? Stock market? need to be investing in eternal things. Things that are going to go beyond this life because we're not getting out of here with anything anyway. Uh, I want to thank you for your faithfulness in supporting us. Thank you. Just this knowledge that we have that here are people who love us and care about us and pray for us on a regular basis and who also support us. And we have been able to count on this. And that means more to us than you could imagine. Thank you. We are grateful. And I'm grateful, too, that you allow your pastor to come over and work with us in the field in Ukraine. He has had an impact, and he is investing in students there, and these students are now going out and starting ministries of their own, and that's so exciting. And you have a part of that. You have a part of some very exciting things that are taking place in the country of Ukraine and in other places, too, because we are now sending missionaries to foreign countries from Ukraine. And you're a part of that. Okay? It's because of what you do here that things are happening there. So I have a short video, 14 minutes, if you can endure this. So we'll try this. If I can find the start button. Oh no. What happened? Sorry, I am technically challenged. Paused. We know that. All right, let's.
I'm Jim Myers, and this is James F. Myers Ministries, taking the Word of God around the world, preaching the gospel, teaching the Bible, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. Since 1993, Jim and Phyllis Myers have been living in the former Soviet Union, evangelizing, teaching, planting churches, training national leaders to become spiritual leaders in their own country, in their own language, and in their own culture. This work has primarily been centered in the great city of Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, where they established the Word of God Church and the Word of God Bible College.
Jesus said, "The one who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life."
But the work is extended through teaching in various seminaries and Bible schools throughout Ukraine and other countries, as well as through training seminars for pastors and leaders in numerous mission agencies. Ukraine is strategically positioned in Eastern Europe to be a spiritual hub in that part of the world. There's an opportunity for ministry there that's unlike what can be found in any other country in Europe or Central Asia. In so many of these other countries, the doors are virtually shut for Western missionaries for open preaching of the gospel or teaching the theological truths of the Bible. But there's freedom in Ukraine to preach the gospel, to plant churches, to print and distribute literature. There's greater liberty for spiritual life in Ukraine than there is in any other country in Europe or Asia. There's also a positive response of the Ukrainian people to the teaching of the Word. As a result, already Ukraine is sending out missionaries of its own. Because they are from an Eastern European country, there is not the prejudice against them that is often experienced by Americans today. Not only that, because Russian was the official language for the entire USSR, Ukrainians can go to many countries where the people can readily understand them without the need for interpreters. Kyiv is an old city with a rich history, but it is also a booming city with an amazing growth right now, racing to catch up with the great capitals of Europe. Side by side are buildings centuries old, buildings of the Soviet era, and modern office complexes and apartments. Streets that were never designed for the glut of automobiles now available are clogged with traffic most of the day. With the modernization comes also a tremendous increase in prices. Gasoline is $5 to $6 a gallon. The cost of real estate is much greater than in many U.S. cities, and a small three-room apartment rents for $800 a month or more. Food prices have soared. The weakened dollar has lost more than 10% of its value in Ukraine since the beginning of the year. Inflation in Ukraine is running about 4% a month so far in 2008, and this means that the cost of living has increased by some 30% since the first of the year. But at the same time, we see increased prosperity in Kyiv and other large cities as Western investors continue to build and establish new businesses. And along with that comes greater income for those who work in these new facilities. But with greater affluence comes greater temptations. There's a growing drug problem in Ukraine, and with it a tremendous increase in HIV/AIDS. The traffic in pornography and prostitution is a tremendous problem. The political situation is uncertain. There's a growing tension between Ukraine and Russia as the two countries are propelled in different directions based on differing political philosophies and goals. Within Ukraine, there is a lot of infighting among the various political parties, a struggle for power, and apparently much corruption among those in power. But as ambassadors for Christ living in a foreign nation, we are not and we cannot be involved in local politics to any degree. We are not representatives of the United States, nor proponents of any particular form of government. We are here to present spiritual values and spiritual truths. The greatest need of all is spiritual. For if these needs are not addressed, solving other problems will simply be a whitewash of the devil's world. Our goal is not to improve the conditions of the people, nor to make this world a better place to live. Our goal is to prepare people for eternity, so that they might not only have eternal life, but also abundance of reward when they get there. How do we do that? Our ministry is focused on evangelism and edification with the goal of preparing nationals to carry on this work after we're gone. The edification takes place through numerous means, foremost of which is Word of God Church. Church meets as a body on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night. There are Sunday school classes for children. In addition to that, there are Bible study groups for teens, for college and career singles, for couples, and as well, we have home Bible studies. The edification aspect includes translating, printing, and distributing Bible study materials. Audio cassettes and CDs of Bible classes are also available. The evangelism is primarily done through ministries of the church. There are groups that evangelize children in their neighborhoods, groups that go to area hospitals, juvenile detention facilities, rehab centers, and special events in the church. In the summertime, there are outreach ministries through sports and camps. But the primary focus at this time is the Word of God Bible College. This is a two-year, full-time intensive course designed to prepare pastors, teachers, evangelists, and missionaries for their own ministry of teaching and training others. This college utilizes many pastors and teachers from America who come for 2 weeks at a time to teach modules in Bible, systematic theology, hermeneutics, and other subjects.
dispute over it. Okay, so Qumran, definitely our earliest. Alright, what is the date for the Masoretic text?
А какая датировка масоретских текстов?
9th century, so
800.
Again, our goal is to ultimately have Ukrainian men who can teach their own people. It was a great pleasure this past year as three of our former students came to Word of God College to teach modules. Some of our graduates have planted churches in Ukraine, with even more in the planning stage. Some have gone out as missionaries to other countries. Others have remained in Kyiv, where they are working in local churches or involved in ministries at Word of God Church. Working with us full-time for the past several years is Jim Dumas. Jim leads many of the evangelistic outreaches, plus teaches modules at the Bible College and teaches home Bible studies and classes in the church. Bill and Ann Munson moved to Kyiv last fall. They are eager to get involved in full-time ministries, but are concentrating their efforts on learning the Ukrainian language this year. But in spite of the pressures of language study, they have still been motivated to teach English classes as a means of evangelism. And Bill taught a module at the college this past winter. The Lord has opened doors for teaching the Word of God in other countries. Jim Dumas has been teaching courses for BEE, Biblical Education by Extension. He's been teaching in Egypt and Syria. Jim Myers teaches modules at a seminary in Moldova. And teaches Bible conferences annually in Brazil and Zambia. When I went to Brazil this year, the response to the teaching of the Word of God was just tremendous. We've been going there for many years now, and every year more and more people are coming because they recognize the value of sound Bible teaching. And so we salute the Lipsy family who has carried on the work there for so many years. We were privileged to go to the country of Zambia again. This used to be one of the Rhodesian countries. And the response to the teaching of the Word of God there has just been tremendous. This year we were asked to do two conferences instead of one. And so we went to the city of Livingstone, named after the great missionary, David Livingstone. And there we had a conference, and people there were just so excited about the teaching of the Word of God. As one pastor stood up to say, "We've heard fire preachers and dramatic teachers and storytelling preachers and teachers that just wanted to exalt themselves, but this is the first time we've ever heard the Word of God being taught." Then I went to the capital city of Lusaka, and again, hundreds and hundreds of pastors and leaders from many ministries came to hear the teaching of the Word of God. We taught 5 hours a day. We presented them with printed material so that they can take the material home and study it for themselves. And again, these people were just overwhelmingly accepting of the Word of God. They were excited to hear it. So it's our prayer that what we have done in these countries will have a real impact as these pastors go back and teach the Word of God to their own people. So we are grateful that the Lord has opened these doors of opportunity and pray that we might have even more opportunity to do this in the future. So what can you do? Well, you can pray. Pray for freedom in Ukraine, that we might continue to have opportunity to preach the gospel, to plant churches, to openly teach the Word of God, and to name the name of Jesus Christ. Please pray for a building that will be adequate to house both our church and Bible college. Pray for provision for those of our graduates who have gone out and started new ministries. And pray also for new ministry opportunities for those who will be graduating. And pray, too, that we will have new students who are motivated to prepare for their own ministry. We are in need of a full-time language teacher, someone who will come and teach Greek and Hebrew to our Bible college students. We have need for a new vehicle, a new van. Please pray also for good health and safety while we're living in a foreign country, and especially while we're traveling. And pray that God is going to provide continued financial support so that we can carry on this very important, vital, and vibrant work. The challenges are great, but the Lord's grace is sufficient. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Perhaps some of you would like to consider serving the Lord on the mission field. I hope that you will contact us if you have a desire in this area. Thank you for your prayers, your encouragement, your support.
We have completed16 years in the former Soviet Union. We'll start year 17 in August. We'll be going back August 11th. We would ask that you continue to pray for us. Pray, if you will, for the visa situation. They began enforcing a new law on May 20th. That may create problems for us. We don't know just how this is going to shake out, but the way the law reads, we can only stay in the country 180 days a year if they apply it. And, of course, this would be a great problem for us if we could only stay 180 days. You go in for 180 days, then you have to leave for 6 months. This would be a problem. Or you could stay for 90 days and then leave for 90 days, come for 90 days and leave for 90 days. It's crazy. It truly is. And it would be very harmful for the country as well. Businessmen are there. They have businesses. How can you run a business if you're required to be out of the country 6 months at a time? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, they don't know what they're going to do about this law. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you have two different government agencies there that interpret the law in two different ways. And we have written letters. We have a lawyer here in the United States trying to find answers. We have a lawyer in Ukraine trying to find answers. I called the Ukrainian embassy in Washington, D.C., about an issue for us to get a resident visa where we don't have to worry about this, and they told us to contact the Ministry of Interior Affairs in Kiev. So we contacted the Ministry of Interior Affairs in Kiev, and they told us to call the Ukrainian embassy in Washington. So, and they really don't know. And my secretary and my administrator at the Bible College, they have been contacting agencies, and they say these people don't know. The government really doesn't know, but we know people who have already been denied entry to the country. So we have been told that we can enter the country when we go back August 11th. And if we get registered, they say it will be all right, but we don't know how long we can stay. Now, it won't be any problem for your pastor to come. He can come without a visa and enter the country, and he's not going to stay for more than 90 days, are you? Okay. And so it won't be a problem for him, but it could be a problem for us. Potentially, it's a problem. I just ask you to pray about that. We really are excited about the way the Lord has been working in Ukraine, and through our graduates, several churches have been planted by our graduates. And Sasha and Yulia Robchenko have gone to Turkey as missionaries. They want to go to Iran, but they can't get visas to live in Iran. But they can live in Turkey. They're Ukrainians, and they want to work among Muslims. And so they have gone to Turkey, and they are living there now, and they can make two or three forays a year over into Iran, which is right next door. And they're going in and doing a work, and they've done this on their own. Okay, a lot of Ukrainians think, oh, if you want to establish a ministry, the first thing you have to do is to get an American partner who's going to fund it. This has problems of its own. But we have people that have gone out on their own to start their own ministries, and they're doing a wonderful job, and we are very proud of them, and this is exciting. When we get to see the fruit from the labors, this is so rewarding. And so we intend to go back and just keep on doing this so long as the Lord gives us grace to do this. So we thank you again for your prayers and ask that you do not stop doing this. All right. Now, your pastor made a big mistake earlier, and he told me I could teach as long as I wanted to tonight. But I don't know how long you can stand it. But anyway, I always count it a privilege to teach the Word of God and also to stand in someone else's pulpit. It's a tremendous responsibility, and I take this as a something very serious. I want you to know that we understand we're an extension of Austin Bible Church, what we do in Ukraine and in these other countries, that because you provide support for us, we represent you. And so we always seek to conduct ourselves in a way that would never reflect badly upon you. And also, what we teach is going to be in accordance with the theology that is taught from this pulpit. So I appreciate the opportunity to come and to share with you about our ministry, but also to open the Word of God with you. So as we come to the Word of God, let's start with a word of prayer. I give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that in your Word you have revealed everything that is necessary for us to understand about you and your plan and your provision. And I thank you that we have this revelation, that it's in writing, and because it's in writing, it doesn't change. And because it's in writing, we have the possibility of studying it. And we can come to understand the things that you've revealed. And so I pray that this night your Holy Spirit will open the eyes of our understanding so that we might grasp more things from this revelation that you've given to us, so that we might have a greater orientation to your plan for us in this life. And so I pray now that your Holy Spirit is going to guide this hour we have together, and I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, there are five great warning passages. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of people who are turning away from the revealed plan of God. And they are going to their own way of thinking as to what is right with regard to worship. And as a consequence, they are going to face some serious discipline from God. Now, the writer of Hebrews is definitely writing to people who are born again. He calls them brothers. He says that you have the Holy Spirit working in you. You have eternal life. You have all of the blessings of salvation. They belong to you. So he is not writing hypothetically to Christians or to those who might be hypothetical Christians. He is not writing to people who have lost their salvation. He is not writing to unsaved people in any way. He is writing to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have eternal salvation. But he says, you are in danger of coming under God's divine judgment in time, because you are deviating from His revealed plan. And He gives five warnings in this book, serious warnings for those who would depart from the Word of God and the plan of God. Now, the focus in the book of Hebrews is on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep our focus on who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done. And the writer points out very vividly that Jesus Christ is the only one who is the qualified Savior. He is the only one who is truly worthy of our worship, our devotion, our attention. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are told we must look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to consider Him. Meditate on who and what Jesus Christ is, lest we become discouraged, lest we faint in our souls, lest we depart from the plan of God. And if we do not keep this focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ, if we depart from the plan of God, then we can expect that God is going to bring judgment upon us. Now, the book of Hebrews applies to us today, just as it applied to the original recipients, because the warnings that are given have application to us today. Now, I just want to take the time that we have tonight, which is brief, and look at the fifth warning. And this is found in Hebrews chapter 12, and we won't have time to go through the whole thing. But I want to make a point about this warning because I believe that it has tremendous application to us in the United States of America today. I do, if I can. There's that, but I can't see it. Let me try again. Ah, great. We can both see it. All right. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's start in verse 18. He says, "You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and to the voice of the trumpet and to the sound of words, so that they who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more, for they could not endure what was commanded. If so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned." And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." So we haven't come to that mountain. Now, what he is describing in these verses is something that's tangible. And in fact, in verse 18, when it says, "You have not come to the mountain that may be touched," there is no word for mountain in the Greek text here. He's saying, "You have not come to something that can be touched. You have not come to a tangible thing." Now, in our day, experience, the senses have become paramount. People want to have an experience. They want the senses to be excited. And so it's what you can see. And so we have a spectacle on the platform. It's a performance. What you can see. What you can hear. And so now you have to have the band up here. You have to have the music. You have to have the super sound system. Or in some churches, they're going backwards to the Middle Ages. And so they have the bells. In some churches now, it's smell. And so you have smells and bells. I'm serious, folks. They're burning incense in churches now to excite the senses. And they say, "Oh, this will lift us. Just as they burned incense in the tabernacle, we should burn incense." And the sight thing. Oh, we were in a church. I was so disappointed. A Bible church. Came time for prayer. They brought the lights way down low to create this atmosphere where you could pray better. They just had a little baby spot on the pastor as he prayed. Sort of like a halo, don't you know? So you see, this is all sensual. And what you can touch. All of the senses. And people today are equating the sensual, the experiential, with spirituality. Oh, we are very spiritual. We dim the lights. We light the candles. We have the incense. We have the bells. Or we have the big band, whatever it is. And it's all about how you feel. We're not thinking. We don't have to think. We just have to feel. And it's all about the tangible. Now, the writer of Hebrews is saying, we, today, in the church, when it comes to true worship, we have not come to the tangible. Now, he says, we're going to talk about a tangible experience. We're going to talk about a sensual experience where God was involved. And then he's going to compare that sensual experience with true spirituality for today. And there's a great difference. But we need to pay attention to this warning. Because today the churches have not heeded this. Now he says this mountain. Now the mountain, he's talking about a mountain. In context, there is definitely a mountain, and it's Mount Sinai, where they got the Ten Commandments. He says, you've not come to that tangible thing that burned with fire. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they went down to Sinai, and when they got there, they came up to the mountain. Oh, God got their attention. The description is like a volcanic eruption. There was fire, and the whole mountain was covered with smoke and with clouds and thick clouds, and there was earthquake. Frightening, terrifying, to blackness and darkness. It's interesting. We've got these words here for blackness and darkness, and they're very definite. The writer wants us to consider these as separate entities. Blackness, darkness, tempest, sound of a trumpet, voice of words. They are all individual items. He's saying you need to focus on these individual things. Now, we have the blackness that's created by the smoke and the fire that's going on there. But then we also have this word for an impenetrable blackness that is often used for the Shekinah glory. A lot of times we think about glory, oh, brilliant light. Sometimes, but often in the Old Testament, we find it's a thick cloud. It's so thick that light won't penetrate. That's also the Shekinah glory. And that's what we have here. God is there. But they can't see God because of this very thick cloud. And tempest, this word tempest means it's like a whirlwind, a tornado. So now you've got a volcano, you've got an earthquake, you've got a whirlwind. You talk about something that's going to get your attention. This is terrifying. And not only that, the sound of a trumpet, the blast of a trumpet, and I don't know who was playing it. I've looked at the Hebrew text. It's just playing. It's up in the mountain. It's in these thick clouds. And nobody's up there. And they hear, and it says it's a long blast on the trumpet. And these people are frightened. And then the voice of words, God Himself is speaking from out of these clouds. And they heard the voice of God in their own language, speaking Hebrew. God's voice. If you had a tape recorder, you could have held it up there and got God. He actually spoke. They actually heard Him. And when they heard that, you think you want an experience with God? These people say, God spoke to me. Oh, did He? These people heard God once. They say, whoa, Moses, you talk to God and tell Him we don't want to hear Him anymore. It was too frightening. They could not stand this. We don't want to hear. We don't want another word added, is what this is saying. We've heard enough. Nothing else. You talk to Him, and you tell us what God said. They couldn't endure what was commanded. If so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. God says, you put a perimeter on this mountain. You draw a line here. You tell people, you cross that line, you're dead. Don't mess with me, folks. Now, if you read the account in Exodus 19, he's not saying if someone goes on the mountain, you've got this team of executioners and they're going to stand up and throw stones at him. It doesn't say that. It says he's going to be killed without specifying who the executioner is. And then in the King James, it's got shot with an arrow, which is not found in any other text. So we'll just ignore that. Oh. Can you turn this off? All right. And this was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. Now, Moses, here is a man who had just been used greatly of God in Egypt. Here's Moses, the guy who was able to take his staff and throw it on the ground. It turned into a snake. And then picked the snake up, it turned into a staff, and he was the man who was responsible for announcing the great miracles, the great plagues that God brought upon Egypt. And he's the one that held out his staff and the waters of the Red Sea parted. And here is a man who talked to God face to face. But Moses saw this, he said, I'm exceedingly afraid, I'm trembling. It was a tremendous experience. We have not come to that. He said, you have something. It's not tangible, but it's real. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. You can't see it. You can't hear it. You can't feel it, but it's real. And this needs to be more real to you than any sensory experience. More than any experience you will ever have in church, this needs to be more real to you because this is what God has revealed. This is the Word of God. He says, instead of this tangible experience, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So now we are taking something not of this world, something that's out of this world, something that is where God lives. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. General assembly here actually goes with the angels. It says the angels who are in a festal gathering. And church of the firstborn registered in heaven. We are talking now about spiritual realities. We are talking about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who now have residence in heaven. They are registered in heaven. And we have come to God, the judge of all. Or we have come to a judge, the God of all. We're talking about reality here. But it's not here on this earth. It's not tangible. And we've come to the spirits of just men made perfect. You see, we've come to a place that's heavenly. We've come to a people. And now we're talking about a spiritual reality, but we can't see it with our physical eyes. And we have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. The blood of Abel cries out for justice. But the blood of sprinkling here, Jesus Christ has provided the way of redemption through the sacrifice of Himself. He has provided that which gives us real cleansing. We've come to spiritual realities that go far beyond any human experience, no matter how great it is. These people had an experience that was brought to them by God. It was physical. They heard, they saw, they smelled. Now, what is the application of that? You see, he's making a comparison. Something on earth, something in heaven. So what? What is this all about? How does that apply to me? Now we come to the warning, see to it that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. Now the word to refuse here means that you are going to disregard. You're not going to pay attention to. God is speaking. He is speaking today. He's speaking to you. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. God still speaks to us today. Not in the voice that comes out of the cloud. Not in an audible voice. But God is speaking today through His Word. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, God is speaking. Don't disregard Him. Don't you dare treat the Word of God as if it's insignificant, if it doesn't mean anything, has no application, has no significance in my life. It's not relevant. And there are many people today who just disregard the Word of God. He says, see to it that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. He says, if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth. Who's the one who spoke on earth? God spoke on earth. He's talking about that experience at Sinai when God spoke out of the thick darkness. And the people said, no, 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 we don't want to hear this anymore. God spoke on earth. They refused Him. And God, in the pronouncement, what He told the people in an audible voice, if you obey me, there will be blessing. If you disobey me, there will be cursing. Make sure that you do not make for yourself a graven image. Make sure that you do not create a golden calf. He didn't tell them golden calf specifically, but there are enough specifics to say if you make any kind of an animal and then think it's your God, then I am going to bring judgment upon you in this life. They disregarded the Word of God. And they brought upon themselves judgment. In one day, 3,000 of them died that were involved in the golden calf incident. And the rest of them, God says, it's coming. Not today, but it's coming. You were involved in that golden calf, it's coming. How would you like that over your head? God says, I'm going to bring maximum judgment on you for this sin, but not today. What about tomorrow? Maybe this... Ooh. He says, don't refuse the one who's speaking. They didn't escape. Didn't escape what? God's temporal judgment for disregarding His Word. All the way through the five warnings in the book of Hebrews, he's talking about what happens if you ignore the Word of God. And it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. They didn't escape. They disregarded the one who spoke on earth. Much more. Uh-oh. If you want to go back to the book of Exodus and read what happened there, or read in Deuteronomy chapters 4, 5, and 6, what happened to those people even at Sinai? God spoke to people, oh, we agree. We'll do this. We like this. We'll get blessing. They forgot about the cursing. The writer of Hebrews says now, much more, we shall not escape if we turn away from the one who is speaking from heaven. Who's speaking from heaven? God is speaking from heaven. Then He spoke on earth. Talking about audible voice. But he is speaking from heaven today. He's doing that through this word that he has given to us. And if we disobey, if we disregard what God is saying, much more we shall not escape. Whose voice then shook the earth when God spoke? It created an earthquake. But now, okay, we have then, whose voice then shook the earth. Now, he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. There's going to be a heaven quake. You've heard of an earthquake. Ever heard of a heaven quake? It's coming. God says, I will shake heaven. Now this yet once more, what does that mean? When God says yet once more, he explains, it indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. So whatever can be shaken is going to be eliminated. It's going to be removed. And he tells us what is being shaken, the things that are made. If you can touch it, you can shake it. And if you can shake it, it's not going to last. Can you make this? Yeah, you can make it. Money. Going to last? No, it's going to be shaken. And whatever can be shaken is going to be removed. We accumulate stuff. Wonderful word, stuff. My interpreters used to have a difficult time with the word stuff. You have a lot of stuff. But that's what we accumulate, the material things. We're focused on the details of life. And these are all things that can be shaken. When we focus only on the sensual and the tangible, they're not going to last. We need to be focused on spiritual realities. And so he's saying that these things will be removed that can be shaken in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. What's going to remain? The spiritual realities. That's going to remain. That will never be removed. What are you going to take with you to heaven? See, we are so short-sighted. We think about the here and the now. But we need to be thinking about spiritual realities and the things that are in the future. Because the things that cannot be shaken, that's all that's going to be left. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, what's coming in the future? In God's eternal plan, all that's going to be left are things that cannot be shaken. It will be the spiritual realities. We used to have a saying. I don't know if they say this anymore. I'm kind of out of the circles. But when I was a boy growing up, they used to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done in the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's all that's going to last. Everything else is going to be shaken. And it's going to be pulverized, going to be gone. But what you do in obedience to the Word of God, what you do utilizing the grace provision of God, that's going to last. And we are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And therefore, he says, let us have grace. We need to orient to grace. And people who focus on the sensual, on the tangible, they don't understand the grace of God at all. They really don't understand what God has given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. People today are not focused on Jesus. They're focused on self. I was listening to the radio this morning. And they had on a lot of different church programs at 7:30 this morning as we got on the road. And I'm listening to these songs that are being sung, and it's all about me. And even if they're talking about God or talking about Jesus, it's all about me. What I'm doing for Jesus. Or how God has, you know, done something for me. But you see, the focus is not on praising God. The focus is not on explaining some theological truth and giving God the glory. It's all about what I'm going to get. We need to have grace. We need to understand what God provides for us doesn't depend on us. It's not our merit. It's not our works. It's what God chooses to provide for us, and we simply receive what God gives to us, and we give God the glory for it. Do we truly understand the grace of God? We need to have it. And he's saying here, if we don't have the grace of God, we're not going to live in a way that is going to be pleasing and acceptable to God. It's not going to glorify God. We are intent upon glorifying self. Going out the Gulf Freeway, going south of Houston, Texas, there's a big billboard on the freeway for a church advertising a big church, and it says, where it's all about you. Come to our church where it's all about you. How about a church where it's all about Jesus? A church where it's all about God. A church where it's not about you at all. I often ask my people, why do you come to church? Did you come today to get a blessing? Well, go home. We come to church on Sundays to worship God Most High. And worship is not what you get from God. Worship is what you bring to God. It's what you give to God. Worship is coming and bowing before Almighty God and say, you're the sovereign. You are the one who has the right to tell me how to live, the one to control my life. And you are the great God, the God of glory. And I bow before you and I give thanks to you for all of your grace to me. Where it's all focused on God. But why did you come today? You need some more money? You came today because you want God to fix your marriage or improve your relationship with your boss at work? Why did you come today? And people come for a lot of reasons. But I say, we come today to worship God. And I believe when we worship God, yes, we're going to be blessed. But if you come because you're trying to get something from God, then you've missed it. And studying the Word of God is an act of worship. Why is it worship? Because when I open the Word of God, I'm saying God has revealed Himself and I need to submit to His revelation. I need to know this God who is. I need to know what kind of a God we serve. And I need to know His plan so I can conform to His plan. We're going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And therefore, we have to have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. There are a lot of people serving God, but it's not acceptable to Him. Wood, hay, and stubble. Dead works. Human good. No good. And there are a lot of people doing a lot of things, but it's not acceptable to God because they don't understand the grace of God. And also, we need to serve God with reverence and godly fear. We don't have much of that anymore. I would encourage you to go home and read in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and 5 especially. Read that passage for a few chapters. And see how these people needed to have fear of God. God got their attention. He really did. He scared them. And God says, that's good. It's not that God is a terrorist and wants us to live in this abject fear, but I'll tell you what, we need to have a healthy respect for God. But today, we are so casual in our approach to God, we don't have any respect for God. I heard some guy on the radio a couple of days ago, and he's praying to Daddy. Well, God may be your father, but He ain't your daddy. He's not. And we need to have a sense of awe when we come to God and a sense of respect. We need to have a fear of the Lord. But we've lost that respect in the way that we treat Him, in the way that we come to Him, the way that we pray to Him. I think we've lost that. And He's just, oh yeah, He's my buddy. God's my good buddy. Or maybe He's like this crazy uncle. You know, and He's out there and you really don't like Him. And you don't like to sit and listen to this crazy uncle. And when He talks to you, you say, oh man, that's old fashioned. I don't want to hear this. But I need some money. And so I'm going to go to my crazy uncle because he can help me out of this jam. And a lot of people think God is that way. I don't want to sit and listen to God. Oh, but now I have a problem and say, oh, God, by the way, remember me? Can you help me out? But we have lost our sense of reverence and godly fear. And we need to have that. And the way that we're going to get it, one of two ways. Either you are going to go to the Word of God and you are going to begin to look at this God who has revealed Himself in His Word, and you're going to come and say, oh my God, I must bow before You. I've got to submit to You. We sang the song tonight, How Great Thou Art. And so we look at the stars and say, oh yeah, God is awesome. But oftentimes we have really lost this sense of the great God who is and the great God that rules over us. And we don't have that reverence and that godly fear. And we need to have it. And now if we don't get it from studying the Word of God, one day God's going to shake things. And then you're going to have it. One thing we need to remember, our God is a consuming fire. You think that you can live any way you want to? There are always consequences. And our God is a consuming fire. There are always consequences. You choose to live your way, consequences will not be good. Choose to live God's way, great blessing. The writer of Hebrews keeps saying, don't neglect the Word of God. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if you harden your hearts, a certain fearful expectation of judgment. But oh, if we'll bow before this great God. Blessing that we can't begin to imagine. So heed the warning. What is the warning in this passage? Don't refuse the one who is speaking. Don't disregard Him. He's speaking today. If you'll hear His voice, if you'll open the Word of God, it's there. You're not going to hear Him in a voice. You're not going to see Him in a dream. But He's speaking. Can you hear Him? Don't refuse. Don't disregard. Don't neglect the one who's speaking. Let's pray. Almighty God, sovereign over all, What a privilege is ours to call you Father. And yet we recognize we must humble ourselves before you. You're a great God and greatly to be praised. You're full of grace. You're full of glory. And for your glory, this night we give you praise. And we praise you that you are the sovereign and you rule over all and you can accomplish everything that you have purposed. We praise you tonight that you are omnipotent and you have the power to carry out everything that you have planned to do. We praise you tonight that you are omniscient, that you know all things. You know the beginning, you know the end, you know where we are, you know what we need. And you have developed this perfect plan. And so we praise you for your perfect knowledge. We praise you tonight, Father, that you are a God who is holy, and everything, therefore, is without sin and apart from evil, and that we know that it's good for us, we know that it's right. So we praise you for your righteousness, your justice. We praise you tonight, Father, for your goodness, for your love, for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your compassion. We praise you for these things. What a great God you are, infinite in your mercy. We praise you tonight, Father, that you are immutable, that you do not change. You will never become less than you are. You will not become different. And therefore, we know who you are because you've revealed yourself to us. And we praise you for this. We praise you that you're a God of truth. And we can have absolute confidence in this revelation. I give thanks tonight, Father, for your grace to us through sending your Son to provide redemption, to provide eternal life. We thank you for all of your grace, for salvation, for eternity, but also for moment by moment in this life. Oh, Father, I pray that your Spirit will speak to us through the Word. You're speaking to us today. May these words ring in our ears. May they prick our hearts. May we recognize that we're here by your grace and you have a purpose for us. May we fulfill this purpose and bring you glory. So I thank you, Father, for this word that you've given us tonight. I do pray that it's going to motivate us, cause us to think about the things that we need to change in our own lives so that we might fulfill your purpose, so that we might truly bring glory to the one who loved us and gave himself for us, even Jesus our Savior. And Father, I pray tonight for Austin Bible Church, that you will work through this church as a body, through the individuals who make up this body. May they bring you great glory in this city and in this state. I pray, Father, that they're going to have a great testimony. I pray that you will bless them as they stand true to your word, as they live by this word, as they serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So I pray that you're going to continue to meet their needs here, that they might continue to send out your word, that they might continue to send out missionaries, that they might fulfill the purpose that you've given to them. For this time we've had the fellowship with you in the word tonight and fellowship with one with another, we truly give thanks. For all of your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are grateful. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.